Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's that?
It might be nice for you to show me the buttons that we've got now, so...
Oh, yeah. I've seen how this film ends.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, well, once you know how to use the kit...
See you later, Ward. Yeah,
I'm out of it. This one does this.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
It's the day that no one thought was ever going to come again.
What was that?
Well, being back in the studio, back, Mark.
I'm back.
He's
from
back.
Australia. Back in the studio. Feel like slipping into a lovely, lovely glove.
I didn't know what you were going to say then. I think you could say bath. Does it feel like a long time ago since we were here doing it back? Because you left on like the 8th of Feb.
Can I say yes and no?
You certainly can. Most things in life are like that.
It does feel like a long time ago, but it also now just feels like I've never been away.
Mm.
Can I have both of those?
It was like that. I said that when I saw you at that gig we did last week.
Yeah, literally, straight away.
They didn't know what they had, did they?
Oh, my goodness. Shall we talk about that gig?
We could do, yeah.
We did a corporate gig. It was my first gig back. I was streaming cold. I came back from Australia with a cold.
Yeah.
And I mean, that journey is 23 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
That's bad anyway, I assume. With a cold.
Did you watch many films on the way back?
Interesting question, Danny. So I actually nailed the jet lag situation because I left early in the morning.
Yeah.
Hadn't slept, right? Mm-hmm. Had a 14-hour journey. Then stop in Dubai,
mm-hmm.
And then a 7-hour journey. Get home at 6, right? A couple of hours, get home, ready for bed, right? So I wanted to be tired for that. So that first 14 hours, I didn't watch a film until the last 3 hours because I forced myself to sleep, even though it was really hard and I can't really sleep on planes. But I refused to let myself, it was torture, but I didn't watch anything. Because if I want to get into a film, I'm going to want to watch another film. So I didn't get, I didn't even get the thing out. And I did it. I slept, film. Oh, I teared up as well. Is that a true thing? That there's too many things to say.
All right, we'll get one at a time.
I've got too much to say, Daddy. When you're up in the air,
yeah,
you cry more when you watch films and things. Is that a thing?
I made that up. It sounds very spurious.
I'm sure. I thought you of all people would know.
Well,
that.
I mean, I've got the laptop here. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to ask Alexa, if I'm honest. What are we saying? Do you cry more?
Do you cry more when up in the air?
You cry more at films in an aeroplane.
Yeah, that'll do.
The lower than normal air pressure in the cabin is known to induce mild hypoxia, ooh, reduced oxygen levels in the brain, which is associated with a raft of cognitive and emotional effects, including heightened negative mood and a diminished ability to handle stress.
Does that answer the question?
Well, the question was, why do I always cry when I watch films on a plane?
So someone's asked the question.
Yeah, this is, look, you're not
so
alone.
It's a thing.
Social media abounds with people sharing similar experiences. There's been little formal research, okay, but some have called it the Mile Cry Club, Mark.
Love that.
There we go.
Right on my street. That
yeah, that's right. I mean, this is made for you. This website, for starters, travels often fraught with emotional stress. So that's what they're saying.
So
they don't know.
So I watched Tom Hanks' film A Man Called Otto, And I don't even know if that's the sort of film people will cry at, but I kept going. And I was so embarrassed because people were walking. I was right at the front of the right next to where the staff were working in the little kitchen-y thing. And they go, George, oh my God, I was streaming.
The galley, they call that, Mark.
The galley.
Yeah.
I was streaming, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Mind? Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely film. What a lovely film.
Well, you know me, it didn't take much for me to go.
No.
Playing Neighbours on a piano, mate.
So I got back and we went to that gig and it was a corporate gig. Corporate gig isn't the best gig to sort of kickstart your UK shows with.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible.
No.
It wasn't terrible. You did such a great job. It was really funny at the top because Danny was hosting and he had to try and get everyone to sit down and they wouldn't do it. And every so often, Paul McCaffrey and I were backstage and Danny's head would just pop around the corner and go, I don't know what to do.
I mean, I just kept on saying it until they sort of relented in the end because I think my voice over the tannoy would have been annoying.
Yeah.
And it was the only way to stop it. But what annoyed me about it...
Oh, I was going to say then, little talking point, is that as an act... When you have to try and get them over and you're nagging them, you lose everything with them. You lose all authority
of
as
course.
An act.
Yeah. So which is why in the second section, before I brought on the headliner, I didn't do any material because I thought it would have been deleterious.
Just wrangling.
Just wrangled them in, settled them. Because at that point, you know, you're more of a wrangler. I mean, I was telling me jokes and I did that, you know, Weatherspoons, the Weatherspoons app joke.
Right?
And I said, "Does anyone here like Weatherspoons?" And this bloke, because it was for you know corporate bankers, corporate gigs, lawyers. He went, "Read the room." And I did my joke, and I did my joke, and I said, "Pick yourself a send him over a portion of peas for 60 pence. You will feel like Bono." Everyone laughed, and I looked at him and went, "Have I read the room all right, mate?" How petty is that? That doesn't even make that much sense.
That was also you're on the edge there because like showing genuine anger is where you lose a room.
Of course, you
were just tiptoeing on that line.
It just really bothered me. I don't know, read the room. Like what shitbag thinks they're too good for Weatherspoons?
I actually had a Boris Johnson anti-Boris Johnson joke.
Yes.
And as I started it, I was like, oh no, I think this might I think they might like him. And it's weird that sort of halfway through a joke, suddenly losing all confidence in it. It went okay, but it didn't hit like it normally does.
Fuck, I mean, who likes Boris Johnson? I mean, it's not for now, but fucking hell. Anyway, welcome back. You're not missed much.
Not missed much, no.
Not missed much. No, it's been a bit shit, really. But you're back now. The tour started again, though, in fine fettle, isn't it?
Yeah. We had our first tour shows back in Bristol. Beautiful.
Matinee and 8 o'clock, both sold out in Bristol, Tobacco Factory.
What a venue as
well. Electric.
Like a proper...
Electric.
Proper, if you wanted to design a comedy club, that's how you do it, right?
Yeah. It was off
low
the hook,
ceiling.
Man.
Nice, really nice people.
It's one of those few gigs you get, and I was talking to you about this earlier, where you play the noise in the dark.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like a conductor.
Because the lights are so good on you and the stage lights are on, the house lights are down. You can't see really apart from the front row. All you can see is a black hole. And if it's going well, you just hear the noise come out of there.
Because you'd come off some weird gigs as well, you said.
Yeah. Well, I had one on Friday where, well, God bless them, nice enough. But it was a cheese plowman's was laid on with the ticket price. So basically when I run on, everyone's just eating cheese baguettes.
And once you've eaten that, you just want to go to sleep.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do.
Good old plowman's.
And then I did one at a cider festival, which was slightly underattended at 4 o'clock on a bank holiday.
Mm.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Grateful to be working.
Yeah, grateful to be gigging.
Grateful to be gigging, as G-Man used to say. But yeah, it was nice to get that.
Yeah, really nice. So thanks everyone for coming out. Had a great time in Australia.
Yeah.
Want a bit of shout out to everyone involved in like the Australian festivals and the shows and the audiences. Had a bloody lovely time.
Did you have a pea floater when you were out there?
What?
Is it called a pie floater? It's a pie that comes in a sort of a sea of peas, of mushy peas.
No, didn't have one of those.
What were you eating day to day?
Well, I was based in Chinatown in Melbourne, so I had a lot of Chinese food.
Pie floater,
really nice.
They're called.
Ah, pie floater, very nice.
Did you eat out every day or were you cooking yourself sometimes?
In Melbourne, I ate out at most every day, because the facilities weren't quite the same as the other places I was staying. But the food was really nice and cheap and it was good. But like it was a different vibe. I didn't really feel like I was Because in the other places, Adelaide and Melbourne, in Brisbane and Cairns, I felt like I was on holiday and working. But Melbourne, it felt very business-like because Melbourne's very like London. I had like sometimes a couple of shows a day, but most of the time six shows a day.
Did you get any days off?
No days off.
And five shows. What's the most shows you did in a day?
And the shows were really fun. They were great. I think seven was the most.
And how long were you doing per show?
15 to 20, depending on the show.
So you're doing seven 20-minute sets in a day?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of footage. But yeah, they're all fun. And what was good is I was really able to work on some jokes in the morning and then test them throughout the day and tweak them and move and tweak and tweak. And by the end...
That's a good opportunity for us to say my observation that What's I noticed that? A joke. Obviously, I've heard you do loads and loads and loads on the tour.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and then you did it on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's slightly different. And the punchline used to be...
I used to say a tenner.
A tenner.
But in Australia, a tenner, they don't know what that is.
No.
Which I discovered.
Yeah.
Because they just stared at me.
Yeah.
And I changed it to £10.
Yeah. So when I heard you say £10, I was like, that's definitely because in Australia, they didn't know what a tenner was.
But another interesting point is it hits better.
Yeah.
Because I think a tenner, although, well, tenner, £10, it is the same number of syllables, but a tenner is almost like goes off into the distance, like it's a tenner. Like that. With £10, it's bang.
Bang, bang.
£10, punchline, laugh.
Niche podcast.
Do you like that? I made that back in February. I've been waiting to...
I knew you were lying in something.
Yeah, well, if ever there's an opportunity for that. Tenner, £10. It's, you know, but it's those semantics that, you know, make... Yeah, are important, of course.
But another thing that was brilliant was... in all the shows I did, in Adelaide as well... I was just on with such great comedians. So in Adelaide, I was on with Marcus Birdman every day. John Hastings came in for half the run.
Rub it in, Mark.
Luke Benson and Mickey D were on in the first half of the run. And then when I was in Melbourne, I was on with Jojo Sutherland. I was on with Kerry Marks, Tom Stade, Andy Askins. Like, such high quality, like a whole lineup with those quality acts. It was interesting to see how it all gelled as an act because we all moved around our spots as well, different people follow different people. But what I really enjoyed was you get to know everyone's act so well, and then because they're all brilliant comedians, you can really, I started to notice, they've tweaked that bit there, they've sharpened that a bit up there, and they're always working to get that set as tight as possible. And I really enjoyed watching that process, really good. And it's just inspiring as well, just seeing that they're constantly working, no one's resting on their laurels, you know, which would be very easy with doing all those shows, just go and say the thing that I always say.
So were there any disasters? Did there any crash and burns? Come on, we all know it happens. Was there any times where you just like, they were like, nah, we're not having
this? The main Best of British show, no crash and burns.
Right.
It was a really good room. I mean, there are some nights and days where there were less people in, but they're always nice. It was also a nice show. You just had to adjust your set, your act and how you pitch it, which was also really... a good way of just to keep learning. Like if when it was a smaller audience, I went smaller. I went gentler.
Yeah.
I let them come into me. I made it more like we are together. Whereas when there's a big room, I played it. I walked the stage.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed playing around with that. And I did learn, you're always learning doing this. Like no matter how long you go, there's always different ways to play different rooms to try and get the most out of a gig. But really enjoyed it. There is something I was going to bring up.
That, oh, yeah.
I thought it's quite interesting how... So you've got the whole, it's cancel culture and all this stuff. And I got myself... I don't think I would have got myself... I don't think it would have been a pickle. But it is interesting how you could get cancelled or in that realm without even knowing it when you go to another culture, another... So I'm a massive Crocodile Dundee fan. When I was a kid, I would watch Crocodile Dundee all the time.
I can't wait to hear where this goes.
I love it.
Yeah.
So when you're on stage tonight, you just throw things in, don't you? Just to try and just see, can you get anything out of different things you know about Australia or whatever? Anyway, this wasn't on stage, but I was talking to a local. I can't even remember who it was, But I was just in the chat, and they said something about what you're up to, what you've been up to. And then I went, I think I'm just going to go walk about. Because that's what Crocodile Dundee did during the film. He goes, I'm just going to go walk about. And they just he wanders around the outback.
Yeah.
The bush. Yeah.
The bush, the outback, the Northern Territory.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So, and they just looked at me like, what did you say?
Really?
Yeah. And they were like, you can't say that. Because it's like for the...
cultural appropriation.
For the walkabout is like a big, big spiritual thing. It's like it really means something. Like,
yeah.
But I don't think I've ever
heard... We've got pubs named after it over here, haven't we? The walkabout, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a bloody pub chain.
I know, right? So, so isn't it funny how?
Yeah, that is because I remember
from Crocodile. If I got cancelled because of Crocodile Dundee,
Michael Scott goes on walkabout in an episode of The Office.
Does he?
Yeah, when he gets left behind at a petrol station, he says, "I'm going on walkabout."
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that was quite a funny aside.
I remember when I went to Australia. You know, it was certainly not Ayers Rock. It was Uluru. That was one of the ones.
What's that? Sorry,
you know, Ayers Rock.
No, I don't know. What
oh right, Uluru. It's the huge Mount Rock in the middle of Australia.
Okay.
And it's a very, very, sacred.
Yes.
It's a sacred piece of nature.
Right.
For the indigenous people of Australia.
Mm.
But of course, when we turned up, took one look at it, called it Ayers Rock. Named after probably some bloke called Ayers, I suppose. Right?
Okay.
But they call it Uluru.
Okay, yeah.
So actually...
So if you call it
when I turned up, I want to climb Ayers Rock. No. Number one, you shouldn't climb it because it's disrespectful to the people.
Yeah.
But number two, you should. It's referred to as Uluru, not Ayers Rock.
So, we had a lot to catch up on. So this is probably a slightly longer episode.
Who have we got first?
Who shall we do first? So basically, I've recorded with a lot of the acts that I did shows
That's
with.
Just good sense, Mark.
That is good sense. I thought they're so good and we all bonded so much. Everyone was lovely.
All right,
Danny. You and Marcus Bergman have a little pop at each other on Facebook about me.
I just like the alliteration of it's my milkshake, Marcus.
So I think we should go for the brilliant Carey Marks.
Great stuff. Oh, is that it? That's literally it, is it? Oh, right, okay, hang on. Do it again.
I think we should go for Carey Marks.
So tell me the idea of the podcast, then we talk through jokes.
Yeah, jokes that you like, generally jokes that you've liked but couldn't get to work for some reason. Maybe some you kept trying but didn't. Or...
It's a bit difficult for me because I don't generally like a joke if it doesn't work. Do you mean I get to like a joke once it started working? Because I don't really think of jokes as ones that... I mean, I recognise the fact they don't work, but really they're just pending. You know what I mean? Right. It's very often when you find the right placement for them or suddenly you look back on a joke and it might be a few years later, you just find it in a book somewhere and you just click, oh, it should have been that word.
Yes.
Or you just weren't seeing why it wasn't communicating at the time.
I find that a lot, yeah. When I'm writing a new show, I always go back through old stuff just to see if I've missed something or...
Yeah, there's a load of things that were just waiting for you to come up with the right placement for them, but it's...
So would you say you don't, if you think of an idea, you don't ever go, that's such a good idea, and then if it doesn't work, you just go off it totally, do you?
I don't get that attached to it. I'll write it down, I'll leave it, and it will come up again at the right time.
Okay.
There are odd ones where I think... Oh, that's kind of cute. I'd like that to work.
Yeah.
But it's odd that this is just a comedy thing, isn't it? I'm sure musicians don't sit down with each other and do it. There's not some podcast somewhere going, I came up with this note, but no one seems to understand it. I've been learning to juggle five balls whilst getting one behind my back and the audience don't get it.
Yeah. you're right.
If you can't do it, it's because you're a shit juggler.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to practice more.
Yeah.
But you can't, but with jokes, it's not a matter of just practicing the joke more.
No, you can't say that joke doesn't work. Just practice it.
Yeah.
I do love. There's a certain level of arrogance that you need in comedy, right? Because sometimes we do stick to one, and then suddenly it just works.
Mm.
There's still a little bit of magic that goes on with stand up.
Yeah, and with you, I've watched you so much now over this month. The way you say things is very different to other people. I think so. I think. If you just catch it in the right way.
Yeah.
Do you sort of just mentally, once you've caught the way of saying it right, you just know it? Or do you watch back and go, that's how I did
never, it? I should do. I never watch my stuff back, no. No, once it's come out in a particular way. But I don't, I do change. I often take my mood on with me on stage.
Mm,
so okay. If I'm in a really serious mood, I'm doing a serious gig. Yeah. Or if I'm feeling just silly, then everything just comes out a bit silly. And I'll talk in a sillier voice and I'll be a bit more jumpy and stuff. And I like seeing the different effects that you can put a joke into or a different feel.
Yeah.
You know, so I like playing with that.
Yeah, I do as well, actually. I tend to play around with that more depending on the gig, less than my mood.
Yeah.
So, like the other day, last night, we had one that was round. I pretty much did my normal way of doing everything. And then we had another one where there weren't that many in. So I just really played around. I tried to just be as silly as possible. And if something weird happened, I just went into it.
Yes.
And just experimented with it. Like, and the night before as well, when it's a small, I think when there's not many people in, it's hard to just go up and pretend that it's sold out. I don't really like that. I like to
acknowledge what's in front of you.
Yeah.
It's weird when people don't, actually, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, although sometimes I'll overcompensate the other direction. So you'll see occasionally where there's a smaller audience, I'll play down a bit. But other times I'll yell out as if it's a massive crowd.
Right. Yeah,
only because I think it looks funny to do that.
Treat
it like it's big.
Yeah.
So it's going for that contrast. But I do lots of different things sometimes with different moods. I'll go for a few weeks. So I got a really bad throat I've had laryngitis all festival. And three festivals now. I've been talking every day.
So you have actually got laryngitis?
Yeah, I had a polyp taken out before I came out here
at
my throat. So, and then I've not been able to rest it.
Right.
Because we're doing sometimes 8 gigs a day. And
yeah, of course.
There's no resting.
So that joke you wrote about that.
Yeah, that's real.
Did you write it for...
Because I had that, yeah.
Like this run.
Which is awful now because it goes well, so I've got to keep the laryngitis. There's always this problem that years ago I got into a fight where I had a black eye. And I didn't want to write a joke for having a black eye because if it goes really well, then I'm going to have a black eye, right?
This is so funny. I literally spoke about this on the podcast really recently. I got mugged in Edinburgh one year and I got a black eye.
Yeah.
And I did jokes about it and they smashed so hard. I considered like painting a black eye on every single
day. Yeah.
Because they were so easy. I get a laugh from literally walking on going, I've had a bad day. Literally that, and it would work.
There was a line going around at the time to protect comedians. This is true. Three comedians in a row got punched in the face. There were three comedians who, this was years ago, who had black eyes around the same time.
Really?
I was a fairly new comic, and no one wanted to write for that very reason. Write a piece about having a black eye and be stuck with having a good black eye bit. So what happened was that there was a line everyone was using. They passed on to each other, go, oh, you got black eye now. You could do the black eye opening line. And the black eye opening line was actually terrible.
You
go, yeah, I know this looks bad, but you should see her. Right? This is terrible. But it would get a laugh. But you had to make it clearly ironic. You couldn't do it in a way that seemed even a speck of truth. I also had a line about...
Maybe you could say that to the child. You could check. Would it lighten it if it was made it a child or
something?
So it makes it sillier, right?
Well, I did have a line about where I was walking past a group of kids who were like, oi, mister, where'd you get that black eye? What happened to your face, mister? What happened to your face? And I sort of leant into them and said, never look into a vagina.
That's very you. That's better. That's really.
Yeah, cool. But you need a black eye to do it, really.
No, you don't.
You can't. You can't just say, I had a black eye and this happened. Because then you've got to do a piece about why you got a black eye and so on.
I suppose
it's not standalone.
Well, you looked into a vagina, you've told them. That's what you did. So let's get into it.
Okay, let's go into it.
Got a few notes on your phone?
I've just grabbed a few odd lines that either don't work at all or work sometimes. And I think, you know, I haven't done a lot of research through my stuff here, but I just grabbed a few. But I think they're quite good because they have different reasons why they possibly don't work.
Perfect.
Okay, so this first one, I think I know how to make it work, but I haven't. It's just a cutesy joke.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know whether the audience don't get the premise or whether they just don't find it funny or what it is, but it's simply a friend of mine told me that he saw some transvestites in the park doing handstands. And of course, I corrected him. I was like, no, mate, it's transvestites when they dangle upwards. when they dangle downwards. You get that then. So
hang on.
Like, what it is pretending there's the same rule for stalactites and stalagmites.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Well, you know, in a cave, you get like the ice hanging down there, the solid bits of ice and so on.
What's that called?
And when they're going down, they're stalactites.
Okay, that's so niche.
You've heard of stalactites,
right?
No, you don't know what stalactites are.
I'm a very good judge of like the everyman of what people would understand, because I don't know many things.
Okay. I assumed everyone knew what stalactites are.
No.
You must have been in a cave and seen stalactites and stalagmites.
Yeah, I've seen them, but they're not labelled.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, I think that doesn't work simply then because people aren't.
No, they
but that, it's, sometimes it's had a good laugh, so people do get it.
Yeah.
And I think when people do know the expression, and if it fits into the right pieces, it's kind of, to take a rule and put it in the wrong place, I think it's always quite a funny thing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something there, but yeah, we need... I don't want to beforehand say, by the way, stalactites are the things you find in the cave.
I did that in an Edinburgh show once where I gave them lots of information that they needed at the beginning to get the jokes later, the niche ones.
Yeah, okay, that's sweet.
It didn't really work that well.
No.
But I like the idea of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to train the audience up to make them ready for the show.
Well, that's interesting. So how long ago would you have written that one?
I don't know. Quite a while ago, I think.
Yeah. But you tried it and it just didn't really fly.
It sometimes did and sometimes nothing.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it's just a general knowledge problem.
Mm.
Maybe. I don't know. That's that one.
Okay, cool, great.
So I threw that one in first as an oddity.
Yeah,
They're all oddities, actually.
This
one is kind of cute, but and it gets a giggle, but not enough to be worth saying.
Mm.
Isn't it your podcast, but there's probably someone doing a podcast of what's your best jokes, and then they're doing a hilarious podcast of very funny jokes. And you're just doing like the worst of comedy, the not working jokes.
People
the
love
fuck
it,
did
mate.
You think this was a good idea?
People love it because what I like about it is that when you explain it in this way, people still enjoy the jokes because that joke then, if they didn't know what those words meant.
Oh, it's educational.
But then now they're like, oh, I get why that's funny.
Yeah.
And they're still enjoying it, right?
Because do people workshop it? Do you get people writing in with better wordings?
So what during the show?
Yeah, so no, I mean, when you put this out.
Oh, sometimes audience members do chip in and they give feedback. And,
all right. Well, let us know whether you know what a stalactite is
so I
can get a general...
We should do a poll.
Do a general poll.
You know, I should do a poll on Instagram and that will just tell us.
If it turns out that 90% of people do know what stalactites and stalagmites are, then the joke's just not funny and you're an idiot. Yeah. But if most of them don't know, then you've spotted the problem. Okay, so this one is about how rude people behave in public. So I'm on a bus and there's someone playing music loudly, someone with headphones on blasting out sound. There's a woman screaming into her phone and there's a couple of men shouting football stuff at each other. And it was so loud that I couldn't even hear myself doing karaoke. Like, what's the point in having a karaoke machine and a microphone when you can't even hear yourself sing over other people's selfish racket?
I like that.
Just doesn't work. It gets something. It just doesn't work. I think it's funny because the loudest thing or the most unsocial thing you could be doing on a bus would be doing karaoke, right?
Do you reckon maybe because you've mentioned loud music, that maybe that almost ruins it because you are doing loud music?
Because I'm doing exactly
Maybe if the other things weren't anything to do with music.
Okay, but there are some other loud things for people to be doing on the bus. So.
Yeah, and also music is the most common thing that you'd be playing and be annoying. That's good. I had a similar idea a while ago about, what was it? Oh, so during COVID, I had the idea because there was someone coughing on the train. Just put me off my cigarette or something.
Yeah. It's nice doing those twisted ones. But I think this one has another problem with it of ruining my karaoke isn't absolutely clear. It's not clear that I'm doing karaoke. I might be listening to some karaoke thing or something. Do you know what I mean? You immediately picture me with a karaoke machine and a microphone singing audibly.
I did.
Did you? Okay.
But I also think people don't say ruined my karaoke. It's not like a friend.
No.
It's not wording that's like a normal. There might be a better way of wording that. Just, you know. But, you know, I couldn't. I mean, so people there were trying to enjoy my karaoke.
Yeah, it's got to be selfish, though.
Yeah. Can you let me do my karaoke? I like it.
I couldn't even hear myself doing karaoke.
That's what you said, isn't it?
Come back to a line saying, what's the point if I can't even hear myself sing because of the noise they're making?
Karaoke is better than sing, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah, or sing is so... Karaoke is a funny word as well.
I know. There's several points in favour of that one, and yet...
Yeah.
It just... Well, I think it just suffers from clarity.
Does it get literally nothing?
No, it gets something, but just not enough to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
And if I put it between things, like other things going on a bus or other a few lines on rude behaviour.
Yeah.
But they have to be those type of lines that have a surreal twist to them.
Maybe it doesn't have to be anything to do with noise as such, the other bits. Maybe it's just rude behaviour. So someone was like, so what did you have? You had...
Okay, let's say we leave out people playing music, but someone with their headphones on being loud, someone on their phone shouting, someone...
baby crying.
A couple of guys. Or maybe a baby crying. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, baby, or youngsters shouting.
Yeah.
Or maybe, is anything else people do that isn't necessarily... loud, but it's also rude. Like someone had their bag on the seat. Do you know what I mean? So it's not necessarily loud.
It's odd. It's the kind of line that fits with us. Like I have a few lines that now I'm thinking about it. A few lines that never quite worked. Of like when I was learning guitar, and someone said, "You're obviously having a midlife crisis because men of your age start playing guitar." I didn't know that was a thing, but I just ignored him and carried on learning Let It Go from Frozen. You know, it's that same kind of line, isn't it, where you're doing something that's proves the point rather than is a fair complaint or a fair reaction. Difficult one, isn't it, because it's just cutesy though. These are cutesy lines, but you've seen what I do is that very often I'll have a few jokes with nasty connotations and I have to put in a few soft ones in between. And also just so that I like an audience to know that I don't have to do one thing, you know. Yeah. I don't have to be all. I'm choosing to be nasty, right? It's not because I have to be. So here's a few soft, sweet jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
In the same way as why I started drinking water on stage is I had I was drinking lager all the time, and I had a number of reviews that pointed out that I'm always drinking lager on stage, and I didn't want anyone to think that I need to do anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I did a few Edinburghs in a row where I drank water on every stage.
Oh, nice.
Just so that, because there was three reviewers who had said that about me, so I wanted them to see.
It's weird that they all said coming. That.
Yeah. Yeah. They made it sound like I'm just a drunk comic, and I was like, no, this is what I do sober.
Yeah. Weird that. With that joke, do you think you could shorten it? Like, get to the point quicker. So, like, have one misbehavior of someone, and then you go, which was annoying because I couldn't concentrate on my karaoke.
Yeah.
So get there quicker.
Just a woman shouting on her phone, maybe.
Yeah, or, yeah. Your woman
maybe. I wanted to make it seem like that's how rude all the people are. And I'm
because
rude
what I like about
them,
it is
but...
she's also shouting because she's trying to talk over your karaoke, which is like a double layer.
I'll try it that way, you know.
Just, yeah, because it gets
I'll
it
try
quicker.
It that way and see if that does... Yeah, it does get it quicker.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether we lose something in that there's just one person being rude, but maybe that's all you need, actually.
I don't know.
It's sometimes we get hooked up on believing that a joke needs a thing that it absolutely doesn't. So, yeah, you might be right.
Sometimes I find trying to get to it quicker just gets to the laugh quicker.
Yeah.
Because also, and I assume it's because I'm a comedian and I know how jokes work, but when you were doing the long... examples, but the time you got to the third one, I knew what you were going to do. I didn't know what you were going to say, but I knew the concept was going to be you were doing
something
rude.
Bad. Yeah.
Whereas if you did it quicker, I wouldn't have seen it coming. But I don't know.
I thought that the fact I was doing karaoke was just too unexpected for it to matter that it was doing that.
Yeah.
But
you know what?
You're right. I'll try it that way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's worth a try.
It's always interesting to try jokes in a different way. Anyway.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Okay, the next two jokes are kind of connected because they have a racist connotation to them.
Okay, cool.
All right. The second one could be, but I could easily change the person's country, so, or the country where it happens. So it's not from the first one I couldn't. And okay. I'm not sure whether people aren't getting this, but you as a bit of everyman, then maybe you'll tell me whether it's just that people don't know what I'm about.
Yeah.
But so I'm at a train station, and then a train pulls in, and there are three carriages, and I don't know which one to get on. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed that one of them was full of Chinese people. So I got on that carriage because that means it's a good carriage. But then I remembered that rule only applies to Chinese restaurants. You can't use it anywhere. I don't know whether people aren't sure whether to react or whether people just don't know the rule that...
Well, I know that rule.
Yeah.
But then I only know that. I dated a Cantonese girl.
Yeah.
And she told me that as a thing. She said, if you see a lot of Asian people in a Chinese restaurant,
yeah,
that's like traditional good quality food.
Yes.
Because we went to
Of course it would be. They'd know what's the food of their own food,
there's
right?
There's one we went to late at night, which is where all the regular Chinese restaurant staff go there after they shut shop.
Right.
Because that's where the decent stuff is.
Yes.
So I know that. I think people do know that. And is that, you say you can't, it has to be Chinese food?
I think it's in the joke, and that even if you don't know that, it would make sense afterwards because you realise that must be a rule. It's an obvious rule, right?
But do you think if you're learning something in a joke, you will laugh? Like, because you're processing.
Do you think it delays people?
I don't know.
I think sometimes people do come around to realising what has happened or realising a joke makes sense afterwards.
Yeah.
And that gives it an extra little oomph as well. Mm. I don't know what it is with that one because I don't think it's hilarious. To me, it's really funny because I just think taking a rule and putting it into it and misunderstanding it that you put it in the wrong context.
Like Mitch Hedberg, I think he could do that joke. I think that's it's got that sort of...
Yes.
So if it doesn't work, the only thing I think it might be is that they're not in tune with that way of thinking as much.
Yes.
But I could see you doing that. That's,
yeah, it does suit me to do that one.
Yeah, I like that. That's my favourite so far.
Do you want a nasty one?
Okay. Like the next?
Yeah, the next one's nasty.
Okay.
Well, I think it's just a switch on... Well, I shouldn't even say that before telling you the joke, but I've done it once in here. You might have heard me do it.
Okay.
And it got very little, and I had to throw in some explanatory lines afterwards and make fun of the joke.
Okay.
And I've done it once otherwise back in the UK. And it also got a few people in the audience thought it was very funny, and no one else did. And when I did it here, just the words dead prostitute silenced the audience who were having fun up until that point. You've heard me do this one?
No.
No, I did it once.
Well, maybe if you want to tell me.
But it's one that I've tried on a few comics, and they find it funny.
Okay,
so I was in Hong Kong. And I came out of the hotel, and there's this man outside the hotel who's shouting, 10,000 Hong Kong dollars for dead prostitute. And I'm like, oh my God, that's horrible. What a horrible person, you know? The next day I came out of the hotel, and he was still there shouting, $10,000 for dead prostitute. I'm like, what a horrible man, what awful, awful thing. And he was there the next day, and the next day, and the next day I came out, and he's shouting at me, $10,000 for dead prostitute. And I thought, you know, he's right, I should pay him. You know, it's clear what's going on there, right? But from the word go, dead prostitute, the audience turned off me.
Yeah, right.
And is it? I don't know whether it's partly that maybe it's set in Hong Kong and maybe it's they think it's some having to go to China, but it's nothing, but it's nothing cultural or
it doesn't have to be in Hong Kong.
It doesn't have to be, but. It's the kind of thing you might, if you killed a prostitute and then have to pay for it, that's something you're going to do abroad. It just feels like it should be abroad somewhere.
Maybe Thailand.
Maybe somewhere more Thailand.
Like a more sordid place.
Yeah, maybe. Do you think it'd be funny Bangkok. If it is just the place that's stopping it working, though?
Yeah. So you try a different country every night until it worked.
Yeah,
can you do the accent of the country each one?
No, you can't do the accent.
I'm joking.
But it would be funnier with the accent. Of course it would. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do an accent. It's absolutely ridiculous. Especially if you do it well.
Yeah, if you do it accurately.
Yeah.
So... I did have that once
with some West Country guy who said, I was doing the West Country accent on stage. He said, are you making fun of my accent? And I said, no, I just can't do it well.
That's funny. So did you feel the audience, you could feel that they didn't like
the prostitute? They froze up immediately on Dead Prostitute, and there was even a slight from a woman, there was a, oh, kind of noise. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose because everyone's just going, what were you trying to make them think that he wants you to pay him $10,000
He seems to be selling a dead prostitute.
Right.
For so anyone who wants it. But the truth is, I've killed a prostitute.
It's a shame that the him shouting thing isn't more of a common, because everyone's just going, what is he trying to, you're meant to be having sex with a dead prostitute? What is it you're meant to be doing?
I think you have to be clear on that, maybe.
Well, I don't know. It's just an unusual.
I think it's quite clear he's selling a dead prostitute.
I think so. But it's like, why would anyone buy that?
Some weirdos. Maybe if I add in, oh God, there's some weirdos. No, even then, because then I can't then make it me.
Yeah, of course you can. You say there's some weirdos, you know. Oh, no, you can't. Yeah, you're right. But the twist is so good.
Yeah, I think it's got a nice nastiness to it.
But also, if you say, maybe when you say I should pay him, that could still be taken at face value. I should pay him for a dead prostitute.
Yeah.
Whereas you need to make it clearer that you're the reason.
Yeah, I mean, it might need that line, you know, I've done the deed, you should pay, but...
But maybe,
I kind of like it not having any more on it, you know, just hanging there.
I got it, but I think maybe that isn't as clear as it maybe could be, the punch. That what would you say if you owed someone something? Is there another way of saying...
Because I think it's maybe down to emphasis, clearer, you know, I should pay him. It's more about me in my head thinking, yeah, I should do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should. Yeah. You know, it was my fault.
Yeah. See, that's, I don't know whether that's too much, though. Yeah. I think you start spelling it out.
I never like spelling it out. But no. Sometimes I learn that I should, because sometimes it gets such a better reaction. But,
yes, very often you have...
But I think if you sense they're going off at their prostitute, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But have you thought of any other things that it could be? Or does that...
No, because I wanted to be a dead prostitute. I just think it's supposed to be a line that seems really nasty, and then or an angle that seems really nasty and turns out to be much nastier than you were thinking. So I don't know. I think it might be that it needs placement amongst a few nastier jokes or a few jokes that have that kind of twist to them or something. I'm not sure at the moment. It's one that will just sit in my book, and at some point,
I mean, I don't think this will work, but could she have put like a sexual transmitted infection? So he's trying to sell a prostitute with that, but then he wants you to pay because you gave.
I think it's funny if I killed a prostitute, to be honest.
Yeah, it is funnier.
I know people will be listening to this going, no, there's nothing funny about killing a prostitute. But I mean, in the joke, it's funnier if I'm a murderer than if I'm...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you got any more down?
Yeah, I've got loads.
Have you?
Thousands. No, I've got a few more.
Oh, great.
This one, just brush past this, but this is one you've also heard me do, possibly heard being in here when I've thrown this one out a few times, but the audience, some get it and some don't. I think there's something funny about this expression, but it's about how, there's an article about climate change saying if global warming keeps going at the rate it's going, by 2050, icebergs will be a thing of the past. And I'm like, but icebergs are already a thing of the past. Otherwise, we wouldn't know about them. Yeah. We'd be like, what the fuck are those things? They didn't used to be here. And then sometimes that gets nothing. And I've been adding, in order to get a laugh, I added in the line, how do they make lettuce?
Which
is just stupid, but that allows them to laugh.
You did that yesterday.
I think I did it yesterday.
I noticed it. Yeah, it's great. I like the idea, but yeah, they didn't.
The expression is that something will be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
The idea that somewhere in the future a thing will be a thing of the past when it's always been a thing of the past, I think it's amusing, right?
Mm. Yeah, I think everything's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't know it exists.
Otherwise, it's just been invented. Yeah, I like the concept. It would surprise us. They didn't buy it at all.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But did they bite the lettuce? They did laugh at the lettuce.
Yeah, but the lettuce is a throwaway extra.
It's almost the lettuce, it's, I think, is like you've built tension and it hasn't released. So by doing the lettuce, it's something they understand and they go,
Oh, I've given them something then to, I've given them a way out from their misery to go, oh, but we can laugh now. But you know, I've got a few expression jokes, so I think it might go better in expression jokes that make them think about expressions. So I've got that joke about the kid, I don't know if you heard me do this one, I was throwing it occasionally with a mother telling her child at a bus stop to stop jumping up and down. And then I step in and defend him and go, I think you'll find, madam, that he is jumping up, but he is not jumping down. You can't jump down. You know, expect him to defy gravity. What you want him to do, hover. So that's also sort of the expression,
so
jumping up
and
down.
So you reckon if you put that on the back of that,
it might be...
That's flow better, actually. If you're going, that's stupid. And when people say this, that's stupid.
Yeah, it might be more of this silly expression. Yeah, so we more concentrate on the expression rather than it seems to be more about climate change and suddenly it's not really. It's more about an expression. So
yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, because that could literally be anything. It doesn't have to be climate change. It could be anything when anyone says that's a thing of the past. That'd be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Like...
You do start wondering when you put out a joke whether people just don't know an expression or don't or can't transfer an expression from the context they understand it in, because they'd be used to hearing people say something will be a thing of the past. But if we've got to say something will be a thing of the past, you know, we know what you mean by
it.
But we're kind of suggesting that it wasn't already a thing of the past, which
I like
it.
Yeah,
I think
so. So what will you do with that then? Will you keep how many times have you done that?
Only two or three.
Yeah, so will you keep pursuing it?
Yeah, I've got another line or two I can throw in, continuing the climate change theme, so it doesn't matter too much.
Yeah.
It's often with jokes, I don't know whether you do the same, but I try and get anything that's not working to go into a piece as a throwaway.
Okay.
So it's not absolutely necessary. I'm not living or dying by that line.
But even if they're not laughing, they can enjoy the idea.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'll try this one. I've only done this a couple of times as well, but it has got a laugh, but it's too long-winded.
Okay.
I think the problem is it's too long-winded, or they're not just not following it.
Yeah.
When I was small, I dressed up as an astronaut, and I would wear an astronaut costume all the time, and I had like an astronaut helmet and stuff. And adults would be like, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I'd be like, "A fucking waitress. What do you think? I'm dressed as an astronaut. I want to work in a restaurant where you have to dress as astronauts." No, clearly I want to be a fucking astronaut, you know. But then you get older and you can't keep wearing an astronaut outfit. It feels silly, and you can't go to school in an astronaut outfit. And then it just seems a bit pathetic to go around in an astronaut outfit. And then one day in my teens, I turn on the TV and there's a load of astronauts working on the International Space Station. And I thought, well, the fuck's wrong with them? Like, grow up. Why are you dressed as children? How immature are you? It sort of works.
I like it, but maybe it's just too unrealistic.
Do you think so?
You know what I mean?
No, what's unrealistic? I could address that. I didn't dress as an astronaut as a child. I wanted to be an astronaut. I grew out of it. And then now to me, it's a childish thing. It's like kids dress as astronauts. To me, those are children's
clothes. I think it's good. I like
There's something
it.
There, right?
Did make me laugh.
I think it's too much without enough of a twist at the end. Yeah. Oh, there's another one here. Let me just throw this by. I've got no punchline on this. It's just a thing I wrote as an observation.
Yeah.
It's just a pure observation that I think is an interesting observation. I've got nowhere to go with it, but you might have thought.
Yeah.
But it's just that I noticed that, why do we pluralize everything below the waist? Right? So trousers, pants, panties, knickers, jeans. But we singularize everything above the waist. So vest, T-shirt, shirt, tie, jumper, pullover, jacket. That's all I've got with it. Just the fact that I just think it's odd that everything above the waist is singular and everything below the waist is pluralized, but nothing to go with.
I was just hoping doesn't work with penis or anything like that. Like, it's always closed.
Penises.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
There's something there, isn't there?
Yeah. Because you say below the waist, I was thinking you're going to go to genitals.
I don't always go to genitals, you know.
Genitals.
Sometimes I don't. Yeah, we have genitals. Yeah, but we do have genitals.
There are more than one. So.
Yeah, that is correct in that instance.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just a throwaway thought. Maybe someone like will think of something. Oh, this is an odder one to bring up. But this might not be at all funny. And I did try it, I think, once.
Yeah.
And I knew beforehand it wasn't going to work. But I can't quite find why I think it's even funny.
Right, okay, I'm excited about this one.
Okay. I think it would start with something like, whenever a black woman...
Not a good start.
I like it when a black woman tells me that I have a beautiful, smooth, pink anus.
Well, I think it's funny so far.
Then I get to say, it's because my crack don't black. It's a really bad joke. But it's something funny about it. I did it first because there was a black comedian who said, who did the thing about her looks and said, and used the line, black don't crack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, so you do know black don't crack.
Yeah, yeah, so you say crack don't, my crack don't black.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It worked that night and she found it funny and the audience found it funny, but the comedian who was on before me, who was a newish actor, I don't know what it was, but she had just done the black don't crack thing.
Oh, sorry, so you'd see that.
So then later on, the audience already know that expression's already in their head, and that often makes a difference.
Yeah, 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 because it makes you look like you're super funny because you just,
come off the cuff with something.
Yeah.
Very often... That's what it is. And we try and recreate that, but we don't.
What was the setup for it?
It doesn't even need to have a black woman. Any black women listening to this, you weren't necessarily the joke. It was only that there's something cueing where this is coming from. So I could just go, whenever people tell me I have a beautiful pink anus. I think it's already funny saying that, by the way.
Beautiful
I think it's
pink anus.
Smooth anus.
Well, you don't have to say smooth.
No, but it's not cracked, mate.
Yeah, but you're crack.
It's not crack. You're right. It doesn't have to be smooth. It doesn't. I just threw in smooth for no reason.
Yeah, maybe that confuses it.
Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe that's all it is.
I think that might be the only problem.
No, I think it's just a really bad joke. I think that one, I threw it in today just for your...
It's one of those that makes sense as a joke. But
it's switching a...
But I also think if any act before talks about that, I think you can always stick that in.
Yeah. But I would have to rely on that, or I have to get other people to use the expression before they go... For it, when they're on before me.
I think that's a commonly known expression.
Is it? I think it is.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon. Brilliant. Okay. I think we'll end on that.
Kerry Marks, everybody!
Hang on.
Kerry Marks, everybody! There we go. Hashtag Awooga to Kerry. Thanks for doing the podcast. Great stuff. Brilliant. Brilliant comedian. Loved watching Kerry. Very unique in how he delivers material and enhances it in his uniqueness. It's a very good act. Go see his shows.
He's one of the best.
At festivals and stuff. Great to catch up. Good stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are out. I mean, the tour is getting intense straight off the bat. Please check out the tour tickets, smartsims.co.uk. We are coming to Stockton on Tees, Huddersfield, Blackpool, Durham, Edinburgh, Newcastle, Edinburgh again, Glasgow, Inverness, Aberdeen, Sheffield, Stirling, Canterbury, Maidenhead, Guildford, Reading, Exeter. I'm running out of breath. St Austell, Newquay, Great Torrington, St Austell. What did I say? Austell.
Yeah.
Newquay, Great Torrington, Wimborne, Taunton, Southampton. People are switching off now. Birmingham, London, Manchester, Norwich, Belfast, Bishop Stortford, Newport, Swansea, Tenbury, Worcester, London again, Brighton, Harrogate, Wickham, Southend, Winchester, Isle of Wight, Portsmouth, Crewe and Swindon. More dates to be added soon.
There's no more places left.
That's a lot.
Great Torrington sounds made up.
Yeah. Thanks very much for everyone who's bought tickets already. We're overwhelmed. And looking forward to getting out doing that. Really enjoyed doing the show again in Bristol, so I can't wait to take it everywhere else. Anything else do we need to say?
I don't think so. We could give out the handles.
Handles, what's your handle, Danny?
I can't remember, it's been that long. Danny Ward Comedian, I think.
Yeah, mine's Jokes with Mark. Any feedback, let us know so we can talk about it on future episodes. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. And remember, everyone,
be more Gareth.
Hashtag Awooga.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.